Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where if you act like a dick, we're going to call you a dick. It's Podzilla After Dark here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. I got a lot of energy in me. Oh, Jesse Kimball's down at the end of the table.
You were going to say something. You said no. It was going to be the first thing you were going to say is going to be
after I introduce
a hot
everybody.
Take.
After I introduce everybody.
That's not how this works.
No, it is. Because then what will happen is we'll get into discussion and we'll go 20 minutes before I introduce the show. It's happened before. Jesse
yeah,
Kimball.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's who I am.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi. I'm a little low energy. I've been binging your life.
And Ali Hebert.
You're going to introduce me this week? That's nice. I appreciate it.
Wow.
He introduced you last week, too.
Someone's acting like a dick.
You just weren't here.
No, because the week before.
That's what I said. Last week he introduced you on the show, and you just, but you weren't here.
There was 2 weeks ago when she was on with Dalton. I need to go back and listen to it, but I think I forgot to introduce her. Like, I literally skipped her and went to Dalton.
Oh.
And I need to double check to see if that is. All right, controversial statement that Shannon's going to make to start off the show. We were talking about Aladdin on the pre-show. We're going to talk about Aladdin some more here in a second, but here's my controversial statement.
Mm-hmm.
Live action is better than cartoons.
It depends.
It depends.
Certain scenes, yes. As a whole, no.
No. As a whole, it is. Because I like to see real human emotion. I like to see like it's not fake. Well, it's fake, but
so
it's a real fake.
I mean, talking about Aladdin, in the new song they put in, you actually got to, like, she teared up.
She teared up
at the end of that.
When she sang, when she got really animated, you could mm-hmm. see the emotion on her face and like her, like just her body language stuff. You don't get that in cartoons.
Yeah, but she made everyone else seem like they were phoning it in.
Well, not Will Smith. Not Will Smith.
No. He was at about 80%.
Yeah, but 80% of Will Smith is better than 100% of regular people.
Okay. I'll give it to you.
Honestly, yeah, no, she, like, I will give you that in that she was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And everybody else was really, really, really good.
Which is crazy because in the preview, all right, so we're going to talk about Aladdin. We all saw Aladdin. And mm-hmm. you guys did a review for it already on the show.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip that. Let's just say we all liked it a lot. But we're going to talk about Aladdin. So if you haven't seen it yet and you somehow haven't seen the original, so you don't know the story at all, I guess skip ahead a little bit. Like, this is weird.
That is a weird thing to have to think of, that yeah. there are people that have not watched
the original
animated one.
And like,
which I'm like, shame on you, but
I don't think
whatever.
We're not spoiling anything, hopefully, but when I saw Naomi Scott was in the movie, I didn't know who she was at first because she looks, again, I can't stress this enough, Naomi Scott plays Princess Jasmine. Naomi Scott played Kimberly in the Power Rangers movie, and it blew my mind because I thought she was just... this is going to sound offensive. I thought she was just some white girl. Well, it turns out, no, she is actually of Indian descent. And she was so good. And I didn't know it was her in the trailers. The part where Aladdin says, I thought princesses could go anywhere. And she said, not this princess. I hated that line. And I thought, I'm not going to like her in this film. And then it turns out she's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. They could have renamed the film Jasmine.
Not only was she great, they did a great, her new song for her character. I don't know the name of it. Is it like speechless or something like that?
I think it's just speechless.
Was so good. It was the highlight of the movie, and it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was the highlight of the film. Yeah, and
that song, like, legit gave me goosebumps. Like,
yeah,
it was really
yeah.
good.
When
yeah.
she sang it the second time, when like time froze and she was like talking to the ghosts or whatever. I know that sounds weird if you haven't seen the movie. She's like talking to images.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? You're not okay.
I will be
okay. But when she sings that reprise or whatever, yeah, man, I was like, ooh. And I had to deal with some shitty kids. Well, Allie had to deal with them more than me. Because woman sat next to Allie with a baby. And the baby was obnoxious, but whatever. Like, the problem with the baby was it would sing. So we'd be sitting there watching a movie, and it would just be like, da, 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 da.
Which I would take over screaming any day.
True. It was better than screaming.
So it was like the little hot dog in the Cartoon Network cartoon.
What the hell was the name of that song?
I don't remember.
That show? That was a stupid show. And then another one of her kids was behind. So they
Which
split.
Which I don't understand is why would you buy like two seats in front and two seats behind?
I'm guessing that's what they had.
No,
available.
There was
pick a different showing. There was the whole front row was empty.
The whole front
empty.
Row was open. That's Go sit your ass down in the front row. So she sat there and then her other kid was behind and he was like 7 or 8 probably, 6, something
yeah.
like that. And his problem was he would come up.
And hang on the bars behind
and hang on
us.
The bars and start banging on them and be like, Mom, when's this going to be over? And stuff like that. And I was like, and she would be like, go sit down and be quiet. And I was like, oh my God.
The worst
like,
I got was when they were trying to get their seats. They like kicked the back of my chair, like, right behind my head.
I'm not going to criticize her too much because I can't imagine what it's like being in a situation where you have kids like that and you're trying to just watch a movie.
Don't take them in public. Watch movies at home.
This is the part of the show where Lindsay reminds you that she's a judge.
Mental bitch.
Yeah.
There you go. If I were in that situation, though, I would get up, I would glare at the mother because she is ruining a theatrical experience and then find a different seat in the theater.
I would have done that, but there were three of us. Like, if it was just me, I would have gone out and got, like, a refill on my soda and then came back and just picked a different seat and been nonchalant.
Except the theater was gradually packed before the movie started.
Oh, yeah, crap. But there's still, the like you said, the front three sections were completely empty. I would have sat down
in
the front sections.
Before the movie started, there was a row of people that also had kids in the front.
Yeah, but they were all the front to the left. So the front to the right was still completely open.
Like,
my logic is still sound. Like, it is, I would have found somewhere else. Point is,
I got real lucky with my showing. I mean, there were kids there, but everybody was quiet. Like,
they were like
just
a lot of little kids at our showing.
And most of the kids were quiet. Yeah. Like, I didn't have a problem with any other kids other than the ones that was directly next to us because, again, they would sing and then the other kid would like bang the whatever. So it was a little frustrating, but it could have been worse. I've been in worse theaters. But it didn't take away my enjoyment of the film because eventually the kid fell asleep in her lap. So... That was nice.
Oh man.
And it was just a really good film. Any worries that I had about Genie, about Will Smith being Genie, were gone. He still looked a little weird when he was in Genie form, but
it didn't bother me any.
It didn't bother me once we actually started watching the film, because he was just really good as Genie.
Yeah, and I do like that, you know, what I keep telling people is that he very much was not trying to be Robin Williams.
No, he was being Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in much the same way that, like, Genie in Aladdin was Robin Williams dialed up to 11.
Yeah.
That's what Genie was in this movie, except it's Will Smith dialed up to 11.
I like the little nods they had to the old cartoon, like where he was showing him like a diagram or something, and it was drawing pictures of Genie and the Sultan.
The classic Disney drawings. So,
little stuff like that was really cool. I loved I liked the subplot with Genie and Nassim Pitrad.
Yes, that was adorable.
Known white woman, Nassim Pitrad. Oh, she was just a delight.
Yeah, I can't believe how many people were upset by her being in the movie. I actually did not know she was in the movie until like the day before I went to see the movie. I saw an article where people were complaining about it, but the article was saying like, no, guys, don't worry. Like, she was very important to the movie. And I'm like, A, she's in the movie. B, why are people worried about it? Like, she's awesome.
She is awesome. She had my favorite line of the film.
I just loved all the awkwardness.
Yeah, well, her awkward... I forget what he asked her, but she said, something like, we'll travel together or something. She's like, when can we leave? Also, I want kids.
Yeah.
She was very, very funny. She was my favorite character in the movie, obviously.
I liked the passive aggressiveness also after she realized, oh, I am the princess. I'm going to go change into my outfit for every hour of the day.
I have to go clean my cat.
That was a weird line.
That was classic Disney right there. That was thrown in the line for the parents.
That was because I looked at everybody, I was like,
and I thought, because I mean, every single child in there was like, "Oh yeah, the tiger."
Yeah, and I thought, like, "Am I a pervert right now?"
No, that was funny.
So that was fantastic. That was really good. Go see Aladdin if you haven't already.
That's worth seeing in theaters for sure.
It was a lot of fun. Before we get to the other movie I want to talk about, we should mention let's talk about the movie first. Then we'll mention the motherfucker of the week because we have a good one this week. The other movie I want to talk about real quick, and by real quick, I mean for the next several minutes.
Godzilla.
Is Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
That was delightful.
Saw that movie with Ali Lindsay and Billy Hills. Billy Hills talked us into going to watch it on last Thursday.
Opening night.
That was a much better theater experience because we had the entire row to ourselves. And Billy didn't talk a lot, so he just watched the movie, and I just watched the movie. And yeah, that movie was really, really good.
Yeah, my roommate and I went Saturday morning at I think it was the 9:45 showing. We were two of like eight people that were in that theater.
Oh, it worried me. Like straight up. Oh, by the way, this is the part of the show where we're going to do spoilers about Godzilla. So if you haven't seen Godzilla, just skip. You know what? Just skip this show entirely.
Because Shannon wants to talk about Godzilla.
Come back next week. Next week we're going to have a really good segment where we talk about our favorite cookie recipes. So that's next week. This week we're going to talk about Godzilla. So if you haven't seen King of the Monsters, or at least skip ahead like 20 minutes. I'll try to keep it to under 30.
All right. And that'll give us plenty of time to talk about our list for the night.
Yes. Our list of five albums. That's the list for tonight. Five albums that you can listen to from start to finish.
Yes.
Now, is there leniency in that? Like, there's maybe one song that I'm just like, eh, it's okay.
Do you skip it?
If you can't skip any songs, that makes it super difficult. There's not many albums that are like picture perfect.
I mean,
especially me. Do you know me?
I do know you.
You can't even make it through a whole song half the time.
I'm aware. Yeah. Yeah, because it's riding in the car with Shannon when he's got control of the radio.
So I think they need to be a little bit more lenient on me on that one. But anyway.
At one point in time, you have to have listened to it the whole way through.
Yes. I can do that. Godzilla.
Yes.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Go, go, Godzilla.
History shows again and again.
That song, one thing I didn't know about it, and I found out last night, because I was curious if you've heard the Godzilla remix that they have at the end of the film from the old Blue Oyster Cult song, Godzilla. And it's done by Serge, what's his last name?
System of a Down?
Yeah.
Serge Tankian?
Yeah. Did you not know he was the singer on that?
I did not.
Yeah. So Serge is the lead singer on the Godzilla song at the end.
That's awesome.
But there's that chanting that goes on during the song. And I was very much like, I need to know who did the chanting because it sounds really cool. And it was like very cool. So I watched a video on it last night. It turns out they actually had a group of Japanese monks in there. And legitimate monks did the chanting for the movie. And I thought that was awesome. And then I also found out that the percussion and the guitar was done by Brendan Small from Home Movies. And his Death Clock band did like the percussions and stuff.
That's awesome.
So that is just the weirdest collection of singers and music. And they also had like a backup vocals of a choir in it too. So it was very cool. Very cool.
That's really neat.
Guy named Barry McCreary did the soundtrack for it. He did Happy Death Day soundtrack. He's done Walking Dead. He did the Child's Play that's coming out. So great job that he did. That whole movie just hit on all cylinders for me.
Nah, I enjoyed the crap out of it.
This is the part of the show that is specifically for Zane Laney. So if you're not Zane Laney or maybe Ciro. Ciro's a big Godzilla fan too.
It's one of those things like if I really just like put it under a microscope, I'm going to find all sorts of problems that I had with it.
Oh yeah.
But
there's a couple things that I was like, I didn't think about the scene where he's standing in the water. That didn't until I saw the picture. So there's a part in the movie where Godzilla rises out of the ocean, and it's from the trailer, and he looks up and shoots the atomic breath straight into the air like a signal. I never thought about the fact that he was literally like standing on water. So he was basically Godzilla Jesus.
I mean, isn't that what he's supposed to be?
Monster Jesus?
Monster Jesus. He's come to set us free.
There was a big argument about whether the movie had too much monster and not enough human, or too much human and not enough monster.
I don't understand.
Any single person that said there was too much human in that movie, like, I finished the movie because I remember that I heard it was a complaint that there wasn't enough human. That was it. Yeah, I heard a complaint that there wasn't enough human. And then at the end of the movie, like, I just like was sitting there confused.
Right.
Like, hold on. Not
enough? Have you ever seen a Japanese Godzilla
film?
Yeah,
I was about to say, if you want more human in your Godzilla movie, watch Shin Godzilla.
Jeez.
It's people going from one conference room to another.
I tried to show it. So this is the second time I tried to show Ali
Shin Godzilla. The look of rage on her face. She still has the finger pointing, folks.
Well, like, I told her she wasn't going to make it. I was like, are you sure you want to watch this? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Because Lindsay was in bed at this point. She was dead to the world.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is a good chance to show Ali Shin Godzilla again. This is the second time I've tried to show her. And 20 minutes into it, they're talking. I'm like, are you sure you're okay? Yeah, I'm fine. 40 minutes of the movie, they're still just talking. Are you sure you want to watch this? No, I'm fine. An hour into it, she's drifting. And what's sad is she fell asleep right at the part where Godzilla attacks. So she made it until then. There was nowhere to fall asleep during Godzilla King of the Monsters, though.
No, there was a pretty good blend of action
and comedy. Actually, no, there wasn't much comedy at all.
No,
that movie was balls to the wall, yeah. Insane action.
I just know there were a lot of parts where like you had human interaction and stuff like that, and in the background you could see like Ghidorah and Godzilla fighting, and I was like, switch camera. Yeah. Change point of view. Like, how do I switch up to the fight? I want to see that.
I was a little surprised by the bad guy in the movie because I didn't know it was going to be, and I should have known it. Well, okay, so spoilers again. If you haven't seen the movie, spoilers. I did not know the mother was going to be the bad guy because it seemed like I bought into it that she was kidnapped. And then I remember,
yeah, I bought into it too.
One of the trailers, she specifically, it was that scene where she was talking to them right before Rodan, where she mentions the only way to save the world is to release these Titans. And I didn't remember that whenever I went into the theater. And then once I saw it, I was like, oh, one of the trailers gave it away.
Yeah.
But no one knew what the movie was about. It didn't click. Yeah.
I think I thought maybe one of the Titans had gotten out. And her response is the only way to beat it is with another Titan.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too.
I thought they were doing.
Well, I mean, that is pretty much where they went with it in the end, because Godzilla had to save the world from King Ghidorah. Yeah. Or as Zach continues to say, as of today, King Ghigori. You motherfucker, watch the fucking movie, right?
I don't think that's how, the last time you said how Zach says it, I don't think it was Ghigori.
It wasn't, and I forgot exactly how Zach said it until today. He came in, he was like, what'd you think of that Ghigori fight? I'm like, Ghigori? Goddamn, you watched the movie, right? What's your favorite part of the film? Allie, go.
Oh, why am I first?
Because I called you first.
That's simple. I don't know.
You don't know.
It was a really good movie. I'll it's go. Hard to pick.
All right, Lindsay, go.
Mothra hatching.
That was a cool scene.
Mothra or the larva?
Mothra.
Okay.
I want those full-on wings and the illumination. Yeah.
She was a great supporting player.
That's fine. I like Mothra.
Yeah. No, they straight up woman in the fridged her.
Bob mentioned that. They're like, so he's like, the only part I thought was weird, again, spoilers, like, you, if you don't know what's going to happen to Mothra, you've never watched a Godzilla film, fucking Ghidorah or Ghigori melts her with the lightning. Mm-hmm. And Bob's like, so she just turned into like fairy dust, I guess, that saved Godzilla. And I was like, it's stupid, but I mean, that's pretty much what they do in the Japanese version.
Yep.
They just explain it in the Japanese version. Right.
Mothra is like a phoenix, but it don't come back right away.
No, although at the end of the movie, they did say that they found a second egg.
Yeah, they found the egg. So, yeah. That was in the, because at the end of the movie, they go through all these newspaper clippings and everything of stuff that's going on. And one of them, also one thing that did irk me throughout the film.
Skull Island. Skull
Did you
Island.
Know that King Kong is going to fight Godzilla soon? Did you know that King Kong is in the same universe in this movie? Have you heard?
They hyped the shit
about
out of
Skull
King
Island.
King Kong.
It was one of those, like, they were, I feel like they were a little bit trying to hint at the fact that, or okay, the goal was to hint at the fact that King Kong and Skull Island were in the same universe, because they've already announced Godzilla versus Kong.
Right.
So that was the goal.
Yeah.
What they did was go full first season Gotham with it. Like, you know, that just like, have you heard about this girl that likes plants? Her name is Pamela Isley. She's likes green, and you know, maybe she likes poisonous plants. Like, that's how it felt watching Godzilla every time they brought up Skull Island or King Kong.
Which at least was mostly the end. The entire end credits might just well have been a preview for Skull Island.
And then, I mean, well, through the movie too, when they were talking, like, every single time they brought up like non-Godzilla Titans,
yeah,
Kong was mentioned.
So to me, King Kong is basically Poochie. When King Kong's not on the screen, the characters need to be talking about, where's King Kong? Where's Skull Island?
Which, honestly, I did think it was weird that if we're going to have every single Titan, you know, doing stuff, where was King Kong?
Well, Kong's not a Titan, though, is he?
That's the way they're playing it.
See, I thought Kong was something different, but...
I mean, I don't... Like, he's not supposed to be a Titan.
Right, because he was just... Yeah, because... Well, shit, now you got me wondering. Yeah, where was Kong? Did he didn't get his monkey ass
hanging,
over the...
He was hanging out on Skull Island.
Maybe he was just bashing Skull Island, but no one knew it because there's nothing there.
Well, he's just, have you
he's
watched...
just taking trees, hitting against other trees, looking around going like, anybody?
Have you watched the Skull Island movie?
It's good.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the crap out of the movie. Like, my irk with this film has nothing to do with like me disliking King Kong or anything.
Yeah,
I liked that movie quite a bit.
It's going to be way better than the original King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yes,
which was a goddamn atrocity because I had it on VHS. My parents bought it for me, and I watched it all the time. And I was always pissed that Godzilla lost. So now everybody's like, "What do you think Godzilla's going to lose this one?" Like, I don't think they're going to fight, but there will be a third monster that they have to fight. You're going to get the old bait and switch.
Mm-hmm. Or, there's going to be a common foe, which, bet you anything,
Mechagodora.
Mechagodora. Mechagodora. Yeah, no, I bet you any amount of money Mechagodora is coming back.
So they kill Ghidorah, and then Godzilla and King Kong's kind of fist bump. We get old school Godzilla where he's giving peace signs and...
Yes.
Jesse, no, what was your favorite part of the film?
Oh, man, I had a couple.
Start thinking.
I have an answer now.
So one of my favorite parts, it was actually in the trailer, like most of the scenes that Rodan was in.
Yeah.
Were just incredible. Like whenever he's flying over the city, and it's one of those things you don't really think about, especially from the classic Godzilla movies. What does happen when several hundred tons of creature is flying at sonic speeds close to the ground? It destroys that city.
So he's taking my answer.
What was your answer?
That Rodan flying over the city.
Well, that was my answer too. So fuck.
Well, my reason is because it reminded me of Pompeii.
Oh, okay.
Because there's the volcano and like
the destruction of people that it touched,
and just how all the buildings crumble. Because you can actually watch someone like made a video that kind of showed time lapse of how Pompeii looked.
Yeah,
through that, and it reminded me a lot of that.
My favorite part about the Rodan thing was just it was the most realistic monster attack. Because, like, when Ghidorah woke up and he's, like, breaking all the ice. Because that was a badass part, too.
Yeah.
Like, when Ghidorah woke up and attacked everything, that was really cool. But there was something realistic about, like, them evacuating the city and people trampling each other to try to get away. And then you hear that screech and everyone just stops. Mm-hmm. Like, uh-oh, time's up. And it sure was.
And then watching Rodan fly around with, like, the ships and everything else. Like, eventually just doing a barrel roll and clearing them all out.
It was crazy to think that Rodan was probably my favorite monster of the movie when he's such a low-tier monster.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as bad as, like, the giant crab monster or whatever. but Rodan has always just been, like, a kind of a bitch monster.
Yeah, he's the B-tier that Godzilla slaps down real quick before the actual threat shows up.
Which, to be fair, he did in the end, too. Like, whenever Rodan fucking, everyone's bowing to Godzilla, and Rodan really bowed, because Godzilla looked at him like, I remember that shit.
I know what you did.
Rodan, not only did he bow, he fucking curtsied it. Yeah. He put some stank on it.
But I will say my other favorite scene, just in how it looked, was when Ghidorah bit the power plant.
Yeah.
Holy shit, the lightning and everything. Oh my God, that was cool.
I think my favorite image of the film, if not that, because that was super awesome, the part where he wins and he's standing on the volcano and you see the cross in the foreground.
Yeah.
That was just an amazing scene.
The
symbolism that like he was basically the devil kind of in hell and Godzilla is supposed to be like the savior. It got pretty deep, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was just like the cinematography. You don't expect great cinematography out of a Godzilla film, but you know, here we are.
I love it whenever they make the monsters feel big. Like whenever they have the view from ground level and you're looking up at the monsters. I hate when they present the monsters, because the old Godzilla movies would do it a lot, especially when they fought another monster. You would have that wide angle, the zoomed out angle where they're just against each other in like a forest.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like two people in suits fighting. Whereas this movie, they did a very good job of creating a scale for the monsters they felt
massive.
Big. Yeah.
And I mean, the first time that you see like Godzilla running at Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. Because that was in the trailer too.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like a silhouette a little bit that you see. And like, that looks just cool as shit.
Yeah. They've done a really good job with making Godzilla. Maybe a little too much at the end. There was a part of me that, if I had to complain about the movie at all, it was the end felt kind of hokey with the whole, like, everyone bows to Godzilla, literally. And then the newspaper clippings that's like, Godzilla leads monsters away from cities. Godzilla creates, you know, a new boys club and the monsters are helping run it. Monsters repaint local park, you know. Like, I refuse to believe that Godzilla had so much of power over these monsters that, like, the monsters are now, like, theme parks, you know? That part kind of bugged me. Like, I still like Godzilla better as a bad guy, you know?
And at this, he's very much like the champion of the people. He likes humans.
Yeah, at the very least, I like it when Godzilla, the best way I can describe it is, you to an ant would be Godzilla to us. Like, Godzilla doesn't kill us, not because he doesn't want to, but just because we are so insignificant to him.
Yeah, he literally does not care.
And there are parts of the movie where they kind of hint at that, where like they said, well, Godzilla's on our side, and they're like, yeah, for now. Or the part where they're underwater and Godzilla's getting closer and closer, like in a threatening manner, and they're like, lower the shield, let him know we're not a threat. That just shows you that Godzilla's not really a good guy. He's just, his ideas just happen to coincide with your ideas. But then at the very end, all the newspaper clippings, you know, Godzilla elected president, you know, and shit like that. It was just a little too much for me.
Yeah, no, it was very much showing like that the Doctor was right the whole time.
Yeah.
That you needed to awaken the Titans to save the planet and all this other stuff, which was, I mean, it was an interesting play on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it, I don't know.
And it would have worked too if it weren't for that goddamn Giggory.
Waking up all the Titans at once.
I really like the fact that they called him Monster Zero at first.
That's that I didn't get until told it.
That's
to
a great throwback. I love that. There were a bunch just little things. The fact that he was an alien, that he wasn't a Titan born in this world.
Yeah.
So now you have to wonder, well, how did he get here? Are they going to bring in the alien races from, you know, the other Godzilla movies and the evil aliens and stuff like that? So I'm excited to see where they go with it. Allie, what was your favorite scene now that Jesse took it? You have another one?
I already said.
You have a backup?
Was
it King Ghidorah?
I mean,
please stop saying that. You're going to make me say it like accidentally. Or I'm going to say like, I'm going to combine them. King Ghidorah. Wait a minute.
Say King Gregory. That's his name now.
King Gregory.
I'm going to stick with my answer even though Jesse took it.
I mean, in complete fairness, he gave you the chance to take it first.
That's true.
What
about the part at the end where Godzilla takes Ghidorah's head and he's like puts it up like a mask and breathes the atomic breath through his mouth?
Yeah.
That was horrifying and awesome. He just disintegrated that head.
Yeah.
Threw it.
Yeah. God, Godzilla don't play games.
Yeah.
Godzilla just charges your ass. The sound was great. The visuals were great. Mm-hmm. Ghidorah was like appropriately scary for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. Like he was actually, the way he moved. I saw a review for it. I think it was James Rolfe over at AVGN. He was, I think it was him talking about it. That, you know, in old Godzilla movies, like King Ghidorah was basically just a guy and the heads were flopping around because they're just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But in this, with CGI, you could actually make it move snake-like and mm-hmm. like a dragon. That was really cool.
Yeah.
No, I don't have many complaints.
It was a really, really cool way. Like, CG, like, the Hydra kind of situation needed CG to
right.
look really good.
Well, you know, Allie got me this Life magazine dedicated to Godzilla. I dare you to look through it at some of the Godzilla suits and tell me that CG's not good.
There's a spot where Godzilla's looking at you and he's looking at the person next to you.
Yeah, one eye's looking at you, one eye's looking at Rick. You know?
Yeah, he got a little wall-eyed sometimes.
Even the Japanese eventually moved to CG because Shin Godzilla was CG. It was mocapped maybe, but it was still a CG monster. It was not a guy in a suit.
Right.
So I mean, that's just Godzilla kind of works better that way. I love miniatures and shit. Don't get me wrong; like that's really cool. But a CG Godzilla, especially now, works very, very well. So.
Yeah, no, I mean now that the CG has caught up, like because in the 90s. The CG wasn't quite there
yet. We all remember 98 Godzilla. I still like it personally, but I know a lot of people that don't.
But yeah, no. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It was really, really
good.
Did
you do a review for King Kong? Nope. King of Godzilla?
King of the Monsters?
There you go.
Yeah, we did one.
And it was all...
Positive.
Cause
it was all matinee, or it was a...
Full price.
I said that it was full price, but I said realistically, like, because I know a lot of you guys out there probably aren't as big Godzilla fans as we are. It's at the very least worth a matinee, like, see it in theaters because of the visual spectacle of it.
Yeah, because well, we like, all saw, you saw it in the IMAX too, right? Quote unquote.
Yeah, the super screen.
Yeah. And the added audio and stuff, because Bob, his review of it was like, it was loud. I'm like, it was, but it needed to be. You needed to hear the monsters.
Yeah.
Because when we saw Aladdin, it was so much quieter than the super screen. And it was kind of bothersome, you know? I'm like, I needed that loudness. But yeah, full price for sure. If you're a Godzilla fan, it's a no-brainer. And how could you not be? What is unappealing about giant monsters fucking up your city?
And really, like, it's one of those things, like, you just, there is almost no way to, like, unless you're just super rich, to recreate that theater experience for Godzilla. And it's just one of those movies that definitely needs it. Like, it needs that attention.
It's another reason why, like, America has only made, in the past 20, 30 years, I can only think of one giant monster franchise that they've done on their own that wasn't Godzilla. And that was Cloverfield. And Cloverfield's a great movie, but like you cannot compare Cloverfield to Godzilla.
No. Yeah, Pacific Rim was a comic first, right?
Oh, I forgot about Pacific Rim, actually. That's how little I liked Pacific Rim, which I'm shocked even to this day. There was something about Pacific Rim I just did not care for.
It needed to be Ava, and it wasn't.
And they called the monsters kaijus, which drove me nuts.
Why?
Because kaiju is the term for monster in Japan. It's just what those monsters were. And what I hated about it was, since they called them kaijus, all of a sudden that became a popular term, and no one referred to, like, before that movie, when people would talk about Godzilla and stuff like that, they would call them monsters.
Yeah.
And then once that movie came out, now everything's a kaiju. It's like, and it's like, you're not Japanese though. If you're Japanese, you could say kaiju, because that's the word, that's their word for it. Yeah. Our word is monster. Godzilla is king of the fucking monsters. It doesn't say king of the kaijus up there, does it?
I mean, in Japanese, drove me nuts.
Made in Japanese.
No, I mean, it made sense in the context of Pacific Rim, but I could see, like, you disliking the repercussions of it.
Yeah, and there, by that, I disliked Pacific Rim.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
Then the sequel, I saw parts of it. I didn't like it at all.
The sequel, I enjoy the sequel not near as much as I did the first Pacific Rim, but like, I absolutely loved the first Pacific Rim.
Maybe I need to watch it again and give it another chance, because it seems like it's everything I would want. Cute girls, hot guys.
Giant robots, giant monsters.
Ron Perlman, Charlie Day. What's not to like? Idris Elba.
Ron Perlman's going to be at Indiana Comic Con.
Yeah. I showed you.
I'm just looking at you. I'm saying you better go. I don't know if I want to go. I'll just have a great time.
I don't know why that was really funny to me.
I do good impersonations.
When did I turn into Ernie?
I don't know, Bert.
Oh, that was good.
Go see Godzilla. Motherfucker of the week. Jesse, you know who the motherfucker of the week is?
He's a son of a bitch.
He's my favorite.
I know, like, I've heard you say who it was going to be already, because it came up in the group chat at some point.
Yeah, I posted about it the day it happened. I think it was like Tuesday.
But I honestly don't remember.
Alabama mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Chambers. You all right?
Yep, I'm good.
From Carbon Hill in Alabama, Mark Chambers, who posted a meme. I guess it was a meme on his Facebook that said, "We live in a society where homosexuals lecture us on morals, transvestites lecture us on human biology, baby killers lecture us on human rights, and socialists lecture us on economics." His friend, who I don't know either any of them personally, but I'm assuming is also a dirtbag, replied, "By giving the minority more rights than the majority, I hate to think of the country my grandkids will live in unless somehow we change, and I think that will take a revolution." To which Alabama Mayor Mark Chambers replied, "The only way to change it would be to kill the problem out. I know it's bad to say, but without killing them out, there's no way to fix it." This is an elected official.
Yeah.
Saying this shit. Now, it's bad enough that he said it, and I didn't think about how offensive the thing his friend said was, but that whole give the minority the same rights as the majority or whatever, and I hate to think of what world my grandkids will live in. What he's basically saying is, I hate to think of a world where white men aren't in charge of everything.
Yep.
And a world where white men are no longer the alpha.
White Christian men.
White Christian men. That's important to say. And oh my God, it's 2019. There are still people that think like this.
Yeah.
How the fuck?
There's a lot of them.
There are. They elected certain people.
It's a real problem.
Including Alabama Mayor Mark Chambers, who you can call or write to. He said, and this is very funny, he said at first they called him, a local news station called him, to ask him about his comments, and he denied it and said, "That wasn't me." He's like, "I think you have the wrong person. I didn't make that post." He then called the station back and said, "Okay, yeah, it was me, but it was supposed to be a private message, so it's not my fault. It's Facebook's fault that this got out." And
it's Facebook's fault. I don't know how to use this fangled technology
to spread my racism. And then
I don't want to be public with my racism. I just want to talk to my friends about
just,
my racism.
It's funny. It's harmless.
Harmless. Completely.
Yeah. And then he said his words were taken out of context, that he was just talking about if there was a revolution, the people would get killed or something.
The problem would get killed out.
Here's the biggest problem is, as of right now, he is still an Alabama mayor.
That is probably the least surprising thing you've said about this.
Do I still have the story pulled up? He has a quote. It may be my favorite quote about it. He did apologize on his Facebook. He deleted the post and he apologized because of course he did. He also said, "I never said anything about killing gays or anything like that."
You kind of did.
Oh, they don't have the quote on here. But he basically said, they don't have the quote, but he said, he said there's only one person in the town who doesn't like him and that he doesn't have a problem with anyone else. Why would you offer up that little tidbit? Like, yeah, no, it's all fine. I mean, there's one guy that doesn't like me. Who cares? In the context of what you just said, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. Because
now there's several million people that don't like you.
Oh, my God. And I want to hear the defense of this. I would love to hear the Republican defense. I don't even know if he's a Republican. I'm assuming. If he's a Democrat, I apologize.
He was democratically elected in the state of Alabama.
If he's from Alabama and he's talking about this, I'm pretty sure he's a conservative. I want to hear the conservatives defend it. Tell me why what he said isn't wrong. Please. Fucking justify it to me. That's all I want. We tiptoe around Donald Trump. I need you to justify this one to me and tell me how it's not wrong what he said. I need you to. So please, message me. Get a hold of me. So that's your motherfucker of the
week.
He's
not actually racist at podzilla1985.com. Use that email will work. I will receive an email.
Or if you want, you could also use I ain't got no learning at podzilla1985.com.
That'll work too. Or you just hit us up on Facebook.
Morally bankrupt.
Podzilla1985.com.
There's a lot of options you could pick. I'm a fucking moron. At Podzilla1985.com. You know, just let me know. All right. For the first time ever, we're reversing it too. Instead of a motherfucker of the week, we also have a I don't know what's a good
champion of the week.
Champion of the week.
Because
Allie,
I actually thought about this too.
I wonder if it's the same person. First off, Allie, who's the champion of the week?
Is it the person that adopted Toby?
Which one's Toby? Is that the droopy kitty?
Yes.
That was adorable.
That was sweet. But no. Jesse, who is it?
Oh, it's going to be different than yours.
What's yours?
All right. Mine is whoever.
Say it at the same. Do you know a name? Is it a name?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Because I don't know the name.
You go first.
Okay. So I don't know if you guys have seen here in the city of Cape Girardeau, the home of Podzilla 1985, down in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, there's a new statue. So I was, you know, for part of my job, I was driving by it and I see this new statue up here. It's very clearly a Civil War era statue. And I'm like, oh joy.
Here comes the controversy.
Yeah. I was like, got a new Confederate statue up. I'll bet you. So I walk up to it and I am shocked to see that this is a statue that is honoring black soldiers that served the Union Army in the Civil War.
Yeah. Huh. Pretty neat.
So whoever's decision that was, you are the champion of the week, in my opinion, anyway.
You think they were a Democrat?
Not many of those elected in Cape.
And the one guy that we've got, isn't he the one that was talking about that rape was consensual?
That's a Republican, and yes, he is our he is our representative.
My representative.
Actually, he's not, because he is not the representative for Cape Girardeau. So for the four of us, because, you know, gerrymandering, we are not included in his district. He's got all the white districts nearby.
Whew. My forehead sweat
off. There's too many black people in this district for him.
My champion of the week is Chris Evans.
That's what was going to be my other guess.
I do love Chris Evans.
I never actually heard this story.
For which one?
So they are apparently in Boston. And I'm not going to say what in the date is because I don't want to give it as any publicity more than for the story. They're going to have a straight pride parade, which, by the way, is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Like, and this is coming from someone that if you would have talked to me when I was a teenager, I would have probably said something similar because I'm one of the idiots that said, well, why don't they have a White History Month? Because as a youth, don't laugh at me, Lindsay. I'm about to spit her water out. As a youth, there are things that Shannon Young didn't understand. Like
how the other 11 months of the year, White History Month.
Or even the 12. Yeah. But I'm a little bit older and a little bit wiser now, and I realize there have been a lot of great memes going up about it. I'm going to say memes, but just the pictures and stuff about how, you know, white people, you don't have – or white people. I just assumed. straight people, you don't have to really take pride in it because you haven't had to sacrifice anything for what you have. No one's ever, like, been
– You know what your parade is? You walk down the street.
Yeah, because you have the privilege of doing that. You have no reason to be afraid of being straight and stuff like that.
I saw actual memes that were like, you know, Old Navy's 4th of July sale is about to happen.
Seen if that ain't like a straight pride times. Parade, then I don't know what is. Yeah, no, I've seen that one quite a bit too.
But so they're having a straight pride parade, which is baffling again.
Yeah.
And Chris Evans just shit all over them on Twitter and just tore them apart. And oh, let me find his quote because it's really good. And this, I think, I don't know if it was the same group or if it was a different group, because the runner-up is Brad Pitt, because this straight pride organization or whatever said that Brad Pitt is their official spokesman of like straight people and stuff.
And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's like, no, fuck off. I don't have anything to do with your fucking hatred.
Did you hear about the Catholic bishop that made the tweet?
No.
This showed up in r/murderedbywords a whole lot. So this Catholic bishop tweeted out that his fellow Catholics need to keep their children away from all this like homosexual pride stuff. It's damaging to your children. Which nobody here at this table, I think, misses the irony of a Catholic priest talking about endangering
children. Children.
And boy, the backlash from that is hilarious. Because
it damages their soul, and that's for eternity. Their buttholes will heal.
Wow. Wow.
Over time.
I went full Dalton on that one.
Over time.
God damn, yeah, because eventually they'll be too old to keep going.
Yeah, they'll stop wanting to bang them once they hit, you know, 10. That's too old.
Jesus Christ.
Allie?
Because there also someone else we should mention is Robert Downey Jr. is trying to help climate change.
Yes.
Yes.
So he is also a champion. And I saw something that said Robert Downey Jr. is trying to fight climate change. Chris Evans is fighting, I think they said Nazis.
Yeah, sure.
So we're just trying to get the real life Avengers.
Mark
now.
Ruffalo is like all in going green, and then it just said, "I think Jeremy, I forget his last name, right?
Renner
is gonna go kill some people.
just kill the right people."
Yeah, with the Robert Downey Jr. news, I saw that attached to a meme of like his character from Tropic Thunder, where he says that he doesn't break character until the DVD commentary. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, when it has him, like Robert Downey Jr. on stage, talking about using artificial intelligence and robots to make the world a better place.
So Chris Evans' tweet that he sent out was, "Wow, cool initiative, fellas. Just a thought. Instead of straight pride parade, how about this? The desperately trying to bury our own gay thoughts by being homophobic because no one taught us how to access our emotions as children's parade. What do you think? Two on the nose?"
Chris Evans is my hero.
Yeah, so that was a shit show. That, yeah, fucking people today. All right, so we got about 17 minutes left, which is plenty of time for this list. We have a list of 5 albums that you can listen to start to finish, right? That was the list is?
Yeah.
Without skipping a song.
Damn it. Or if you're me, without skipping too much. So, are we going to just do all 5 apiece, or are we going to go around the table?
Yeah, let's go around the table.
All right. So, we'll start with Jesse Kimball.
Why?
You got a nice little notebook.
I do have a nice little notebook here.
Note it up.
All right, I'll try not to steal one of Shannon's immediately. I'll start with Alex Clare, The Fuck. Lateness of the Hour.
Seriously?
There's absolutely no way.
Zero chance.
I don't know who or what that is.
We both know which one you're talking about for me.
Yeah, no, there's
a very
two of
recent
them.
Album.
There's two of them that I know that I would steal from you or could steal from you.
All right, so say that album again.
Alex Clare, The Lateness of the Hour.
I also want to, here's the rules. You have to say the album and then say your favorite song from it.
My favorite song from it is probably Too Close.
I know that one. Yeah, Dancing Too Close.
Nope. It was the it was actually on an Internet Explorer commercial a long time ago, which is unfortunate, but the song is great. But yeah, no, that whole album I can listen to it start to finish easily. It's I actually do that still fairly regularly because the whole album is just great.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm gonna go with
Thought you had a list.
I do. It's in my head. I was just deciding which one I was gonna go with first. Green Day's American Idiot.
That's a good one.
It's good. Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to pick a favorite off of that one. But I guess I'll go with Extraordinary Girl.
If you would have said Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
No.
It would have been a podcast of broken bones. Great song, but just...
But I really like St. Jimmy. I really like Jesus of Suburbia.
I like Jesus of Suburbia.
Yeah, no, that whole album is fantastic. That's a good choice.
That was my printmaking studio album.
It's fair.
All right, I'm going to start with one that you're not going to think that I would say. Well, you might think I say it, but it might not be on my list. Evanescence, Fallen.
That's a good album.
that I listened to that album over. I love that album so much that like when I was dating Vina, I like made her listen to it.
Because that's
like,
the album that has "Wake Me Up Inside," right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because I downloaded that album. Totes Legally, guys. Totes Legally. Downloaded that album.
That was the name of the website that he downloaded it from. Was Totes Legally. It was a notorious file sharing website.
Yeah, no, I downloaded it for that song, and I ended up just really enjoying that album.
Yeah, and that's an album that legitimately, like, there's not a song on that I would skip because I love every song on that album. I was pretty big into Evanescence at the time. Amy Lee, I thought, was really incredible. I love Ben Moody as a guitarist. My favorite song on that would probably be "Everybody's Fool," because even though the "Wake Me Up Inside" is one everyone knows, and "My Immortal" is incredibly good. The band version. I like the band version, which I don't think is actually on the album, so it's disqualified.
Because isn't that on a soundtrack?
It's on a soundtrack or a single or something. But "Everybody's Fool" is my favorite song on that album. It's just a great album. It's a shame they never made any more.
Did you ever hear Amy Lee's album she did with Korn?
No.
That turned out really good.
Did she do one with Korn?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It turned out great.
Ben Moody left the band right after Fallen because I actually was going to go to a concert with Evanescence, Breaking Benjamin, and I think Seether or Finger 11. And we were going to go to this concert. It was going to be in like Carbondale. And they canceled the concert because I think Evanescence like pulled out. And apparently it's because Ben Moody left the band. And it was this huge mess up, and I was always pissed off about that because I've only been to one concert in my life, and I wanted that to be the second. Mm. For the record, I'm 36, and I've still only been to one concert in my life.
I'm going to drag you to a Coheed concert
sometime.
And
it was Styx and Kansas and John Waite.
Next time it's close, I'm dragging you to a Coheed concert. Like, I will drug you and put you in my car.
One of my biggest regrets was not going to the Yellow Card. There was Yellow Card and Motion City Soundtrack that both retired the same year. I really regret not going to their last shows. Anyway, Allie.
The one I'm going to go with first is Hands Like Houses, Ground Dweller. And my favorite song off that album is The Definition of Not Leaving.
I like that song.
Which is basically a Where the Wild Things Are song.
That is a band that Allie introduced me to. So the only reason I know them is because of her. And I have two or three other songs, if any, from that album on my Spotify
playlist.
That
one and their one after that.
Have you ever heard of Hands Like Houses?
Nope.
They're not. I don't know a lot of people that know them.
It's a really good song. It's really good. But
yeah, I mean, like, it might be one of those things. Like, if I heard a song, like, I
thought
Allie
was
gonna
do the thing where she puts the phone up to the mic and goes, oh, here's the song, but then we get sued. So, Jesse,
all right. My next one, try to get another one to Shannon will steal. Daft Punk Discovery, that was their second studio album. They had actually had an anime that went along with it. Like, if you watch, like, as I'm sure you've seen, I think everybody at this table probably at some point has seen the music video for One More Time.
Probably haven't. I just don't know it.
All right. I mean, it's an anime style music video to One More Time, and blue people.
It's that one that it's very much Captain Harlock style.
A little bit, yeah.
Art.
And it's, I mean, like, they have the anime released, and it's not like, it's literally just the album. There's no extra words or anything to it. The anime is called Interstellar 4-5. It's how you say it. It's just 5555, like four fives. You can watch, like, the entire thing is on YouTube. You'll have to just find all the songs and then put them in a playlist and watch it that way. It's a little annoying that it skips between songs, but it's awesome. And like, I could already listen to that album from beginning to end after watching that. Like, it just added more to it because it gave like a lot of the songs a little bit more weight. It was really, really good.
I'm looking at you, bitch.
That's because you're going to scoff at me on my next one.
Jim and the Holograms.
No.
Garfield.
No.
It's
not a cartoon.
Eiffel.
No.
Barbie Girl.
No.
Do we have time for you to keep guessing?
No.
It's Simple Plan, no pads, no helmets, just
God
balls.
Damn it.
Hey, Dad,
look at me.
I like that album. Shut up.
I did too. I love Simple Plan.
I couldn't stand Simple Plan.
Really?
Homeboy, like, it was really impressive that dude figured out how to sing out of his nose. Like,
he's nasally as hell.
He took notes from Tom DeLonge.
I knew she was going to do it because she's a petty bitch.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Tom Petty? Worst Day Ever is my favorite song off of it.
I had a lot of friends that were really into Simple Plan.
I like Simple Plan.
My sister was really into Simple Plan. I could not stand it. It's like, it doesn't help that at the time, you know, I was super into like Disturbed and Korn and System of a Down.
You were in the hard stuff.
So you're listening to the doo-doo, doo-doo, and then you hear, "Hey, Dad."
Yeah, no, I was in my emo punk stage. So.
Yeah, like everybody was calling Simple Plan punk, and that was the only song I ever heard. I was like, "Are you guys fucking kidding me right now?"
Like, you thought everybody was like you were in the Truman Show. Everyone's pranking you.
Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills over here.
My next one I'm going to go with is from the same era. So while you were listening to Simple Plan, I was over in Rapland. Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1999 Eternal.
That's good shit.
Is just probably my favorite rap album of all time. And I love a lot of their newer music because it's way more mellow. But that particular album from start to finish was just incredible. You can't play it for people, though. Like, Allie and I went to St. Louis, and I put the entire album on. And as we're listening to it, I'm going like, this is not for her. You had to grow up in this era.
But newer music, you keep playing it, and I know the songs, and you go... You know this song?
Well, that's their newer music, though, because I'm not saying that they were not mainstream at the time, because Crossroads is one of the biggest hits of mm-hmm. all time.
Yeah.
But their newer music is way more poppy than their original. The original was like straight up, it was a very harmony rap.
Yeah.
And favorite song from that album would probably be, I know Crossroads is the easy answer, but I want to say East 1999. That's just a fantastic song. I love the video, too. Allie.
Okay.
Penny Bitch.
The next album I'm going with is State Champs, The Finer Things, and my favorite song is Deadly Conversation.
I only know very little about State Champs. I know Mandy likes them too, because every time I have a song on, she's like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, baby, I want it," and it's just more Simple Plan. No, my leg hurts anyway. What was your favorite song on?
It said Deadly Conversation.
I know. I wanted to reiterate.
Okay.
You can think of it.
Okay.
Don't Jesse, hit the microphone.
I gave you two opportunities to take it.
Son of a bitch, don't do this to me.
Coheed and Cambria, Unheavenly Creatures.
No!
I gave you two chances.
That's all right. There's like eight more albums I could pick.
That's really true, because I really do. Like, there's at least four Coheed albums that I could listen to from start to finish.
Yeah.
No problems. Unheavenly Creatures just really did become my favorite.
Yeah, it's that good.
I even went back and re-listened to every other one of the albums a couple times through just to see if like recency bias.
Yeah.
But even after that, like Unheavenly Creatures, I still like
it. Had to grow on me a little bit though, because there were a couple songs that I didn't like at first as much because they weren't as catchy, like Toys and Queen of the Dark, stuff like that. But when I went back and I would listen to it just start to finish, I really grew to love those songs, especially like The Pavilion and Nighttime Walkers.
I love The Pavilion.
Those were two songs I skipped because I didn't like them at first, and now they're like my two favorite songs on the album.
Yeah, The Pavilion is phenomenal.
That's just a good back-to-back song. Then The Gutter right after that. Like, what a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, like, picking a favorite song in there is real hard, so I'm just going to go easy and say Unheavenly Creatures because it's a great song. But
I'm going to break precedent. I'm also going to pick a favorite song from that album. And it would have to be Old Flames. I love that song.
That song is phenomenal, too.
Such a good album. Lindsay.
I'm going to go with something newer and blow your mind.
Taylor Swift.
No.
Oh.
Weezer's Teal album. It's all covers, but I love it.
That still counts.
Yeah, it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song on there?
Probably Sweet Dreams, but I'm very entertained by their take on No Scrubs.
The No Scrubs was that was fantastic. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah.
So as much as I really want to put a Taylor Swift album on there because I'm a big fan, I can't lie and say that I love every single song on every one of her albums. Because even 1989 is probably my favorite album by her, but there's at least one song that I'm just like, it's okay. So I'm going to go with 1,000 Suns by Linkin Park.
That was the other one I was going
to
steal from
you. Was it really?
Yep.
Because I love that album, and it's crazy to me that it's not a more popular album. There was a couple songs there that were really popular.
That one came right after that was their album after Meteora.
Yeah.
And it was just a completely different style. And it was a few years since they had done Meteora before they did 1,000 Suns. And it was, everybody was waiting on, you know, Linkin Park angst.
But they wanted to do something different. And they did. Like, this album is very, very different. There's so much different stuff on it. It's hard to pick a favorite song because I love Wretches and Kings. And Waiting for the End is probably my favorite. But I think I'm going to go with Blackout. Because it's really just in your face and hard.
That's actually almost a little bit classic Linkin Park in there. One of the few songs in there.
And Iridescent also really good. It's just a good album.
And since you did it to me with Coheed, Wretches and Kings is my favorite song on that album.
Such a good album. Can't say good nothing. Allie.
Since he went with the Coheed album, I'm going to go with the album that came out like at the same time.
The same day.
Which is 21 Pilots Trench. And for me, this is the album like I... it's hard to pick a favorite. I'm like looking at the list going, okay, it could be Levitate, could be Chlorine, Nico and the Niners, but I'm probably going to go with Bandito. I really like that song.
That's a good album. Yeah. It's just a shame it came out the same day as Unheavenly Creatures.
Yeah, because it was not going to get any attention from either of us.
No, because it's a great album. Like, I legitimately like it, but like, mm-hmm. I can't put it over Coheed. I just, my blackness won't let me.
Wait, what?
You know? Jesse Kimball,
back
inner,
up.
His inner blackness.
His inner blackness. Okay. Similar to Coheed, Linkin Park does have quite a few phenomenal albums. So instead of A Thousand Suns, I'm going to say Hybrid Theory.
Mm.
Which is just like that was, well, my introduction to Linkin Park was when they were Hybrid Theory. And yeah, but either way, like that album is just great. Like it was one of the first CDs I ever owned, like actually owned when I was a kid. And there's a ton of great songs on there. Like I could, this is definitely one that I still occasionally will listen to front to finish. But
I don't think Linkin Park's ever put out a CD I didn't enjoy.
No, like I've at least enjoyed everyone. Like I've liked some less than others, but yeah. In the end is obviously the easy answer. Crawling is really good too.
Is that the one that had My December in it?
No, My December was on their EP, and then they re-released it in Reanimation.
Yes, that's right. I like that song a lot.
Oh, I love that song. It was really good. Anyway, I don't know. One Step Closer, maybe. I like One Step Closer a lot.
I'm one step. Every day I come to work, I think I'm one step closer to the edge.
I'm about to break. Yeah, so I'm going to go with One Step Closer for that album.
It's a great album. Lindsay.
Ace of Base, The Sign.
That's the one I was trying to think of earlier. Ace of Base. I knew she was going to put Ace of Base
in there. It is my first like non-Little Kitty album that I ever liked from beginning to end. As far as that goes, I'm going with Don't Turn Around. Was my favorite song on it. I did re-listen to this album today to make sure that I still liked all of it. And my God, they all have the same freaking beat. Like every single song has the same beat to it.
That's just.
But I still really like
continuity.
It. Yeah,
is what we'll call it. I'm also gonna do Coheed and Cambria. So Jesse did Coheed and Cambria. I would have said Unheavenly Creatures, but since Jesse picked that one, and this is a hard one because I really love all their albums too.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that introduced me to them. And I still think it's probably their best album to date, In Keeping the Secrets of Silent Earth 3. That album just blew me out of the water.
Didn't one of the song videos play at Stephen Barry's? And that's what...
Oh, no. I heard this before even Stephen Barry's. Because me and Bob used to ride around. Me, Bob, and Chad rode around. And they were like, have you heard this song? This girl sings it.
Oh, and it was, okay.
Oh, no.
It was, Blood Red Summer. And we're listening to it, and I'm like, that's not a girl. Like, that doesn't even sound like a girl. But, you know, this is during the Tracy Chapman era.
Yeah.
So you didn't know. You didn't know.
One of the bands I liked, Sleeping with Sirens, also had that issue.
Well, you couldn't tell?
This is a girl singer. No, it's not.
Yeah, but I think if you look up the lead singer from Sleeping with Sirens, and then you look up the lead singer of Coheed and Cambria, one is definitely a guy.
And I will say, like, another reason I'm going to drag you to a Coheed concert. In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3, the song, that live, holy crap.
It's a long song, too.
I mean, it's a long song, and just, like, the amount of, like, crowd interaction and, like, how into it, like, you get, like, it's just,
And that one's almost impossible to pick a favorite song from, because I think my favorite's probably Blood Red Summer, but... I also really like The Crowing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, The Crowing.
Crowing is so good.
That whole album is great.
Owl the Killer is also one of my favorites, but I'm going to go with The Crowing. The Crowing.
The Crowing's.
Yeah. Amberlina, yeah. All right.
Allie. I'm going with Kesha's album Rainbow.
Is that the one with Godzilla on it?
Yes. Yes. There is a song on this album called Godzilla.
Full circle. That'll be the intro song for tonight. No, it has to be The Godzilla by Surge. It has to be. Sorry.
My favorite song... on is actually called Rainbow. It's just Praying is also a really good song, but that one
can't confirm. She was obsessed with this album when it came out.
It's really good.
It is. I didn't say it wasn't. I listened to it. I like Kesha. I like Kesha before you did. I liked her when she was still a dirty gutter girl.
A dirty gutter girl.
She would say she was a dirty gutter girl.
Yeah.
She prided herself on it. Most of her songs were about being a gutter girl.
Okay.
Okay. Jesse?
All right. I guess for my last one.
No, I'm not mad at Kesha. I love Kesha. I really do.
Why would you be mad at her?
Well, I don't know. Jesse?
For my last one, System of a Down, Mesmerize.
Is that the one with BYOB on
it? Yes. Yeah, someone would be R.I.O.B. I listened to this album so much in high school. My little brother was riding to school with me for you know, the period of time between, like, you know, me having a car and him having a car. I didn't take the CD out of my CD player for a solid year.
Wow.
I love this album. Like, I actually, like, in doing this, whenever I saw, like, what gave me the inspiration for doing this list tonight, I immediately just started listening to this album again because I can, like, just all the way through every bit of it. Love this album. Radio Video, probably my favorite song on there. It's just, it's really, really good.
I didn't like System of a Down nearly as much until I met you. Like, I liked them, but I didn't get into them really. And now I really like him. Surge is crazy.
Surge is crazy.
Yeah.
I really like his first solo album was solid. His second solo album was not.
Every time I mentioned to Lindsay, I'm like, I was like, yeah, so Surge from System of a Down is the lead singer, is the singer on the Godzilla song. She's like, I don't know who that is. And I just remind her of the same song there. La 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 la. She's like, oh, okay, I know who it is.
I'm not good with names. I'm sorry.
Lindsay?
Okay, we're going with Classic Lindsay for the last one.
Were we not already on Classic Lindsay with Ace of Base?
Yes.
I'm about to say we got Green Day and Ace of Base.
But the more true Lindsay all the way up through the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack, and it doesn't matter whether it is movie, stage, short, or extended, I will listen to the whole thing.
It's movie. The movie version is the best one.
Well, I didn't have the movie version originally. I had the theater version. Thank you.
Oh, that's fine. Just the movie version is better.
Notes is my favorite song on it. The arguing. It's just great.
You're wrong about the best song, but
it's my favorite, not yours.
It's not best. Yeah, she did like the topic wasn't best song on there.
It's favorite.
Yeah, because my songs would have probably been different if I was going with best versus favorite.
So the last one for me is incredibly difficult too, because there's so many that I want to mention. I want to mention Boys to Men 2 is an incredible
album. That
album
is great.
I want to mention Motion City soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
I want to mention there was another one that I had stuck in my head just a second ago. I'm like, oh, that's a really good one I listen to all the time. Volbeat. There,
yeah, that whole album.
What was it? Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies. I think it was what it was called.
That was the one that had the
Hangman's Count and
it had the song
Doc
that
Holiday.
Actually got hit really like on the radio a whole lot.
Hangman's Count.
Oh, okay.
That was on there all the time.
I really liked
that was
one.
Good. But I think the one I'm going to go with for my final one is Autopilot Off. And I think it was actually called Autopilot Off, if I remember correctly. I first heard Autopilot Off on the soundtrack for SSX3, and there was a song on there called Clockwork that I was just like obsessed with, and I could never find it. And then I finally found the album, and I just Make a Sound is what it was called. Make a Sound, because that's the name of one of the songs. And I was just obsessed with that album. I listened to it over and over and over again, and it was so, so good. 12th Day is probably my favorite. No. Let's just go with Clockworks, because it got me into it. If you've never heard Autopilot Off, they made one album. It's called Make a Sound. I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you've never heard it, like, it's really worth going out of your way and listening to. It's just great. Allie.
Okay, for my last one, I'm going with the band that, like, got me into the music that I listen to.
Well, let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
It's Day to Remember?
No.
Okay, well,
but
I get two guesses.
Think about
I get two guesses.
That band.
It's oh God, I know who it is and I can't think of it. Because it's they're guys.
Yes.
And they you've told me.
Yeah. See, now this is your key opportunity to make the Jonas Brothers joke. And you missed it.
I mean, to be fair, I did listen to that album all the way through. It could have been on this list. I thought about it.
I'm pretty sure these are the guys that you have on Twitter. And in
probably.
Like, oh, God damn
Taking
it.
Back Sunday?
That's going to, no.
Plain White Tees.
This is going to piss me off so much. Because they're like,
I'm just going to throw out like random ass pop punk.
They had a video where there's like zombies.
Yes.
God damn it. Just say it.
All Time Low.
That is. Damn it. I couldn't think of it.
I like All Time Low.
That's why I said A Day to Remember, because I was just thinking of the A letter.
They have, like, all their albums are great, but probably their, I think it's their newest one, because he's doing something else now, is Last Young Renegade. And my favorite song is their single from it, Dirty Laundry, but there's a lot of songs on there that I really like. But yeah.
Oh yeah, that was the one. Dear Maria, Count Me In. That's the song that I really liked by All Time Low.
That's about a stripper. I mean, it is.
What happened to your Christian values?
It's about a stripper.
Moral.
She didn't say that was her favorite song. I said it was my favorite All Time Low song.
That
it's their most popular song easily.
Probably,
like
yes.
It's
so there you have it. 5 albums, actually 20 albums to go listen to tonight. from Podzilla 1985. What is your favorite album? What's an album you can listen to over and over again? Let us know. We know you're not going to. Five of you will.
I'm sure we'll get a couple in the group chat.
Yes, group chat. Cody Sandusky, definitely. Hunter Hendricks, possibly. By the way, again, next Tuesday, I want to remind everybody, it's a special show. We're doing an E3 show. Myself, Jesse Kimball, Allie.
Is E3 still a thing?
Yeah.
I might not be on that show.
I might
Motherfucker,
not
I either. Told you about the show ahead of time.
I know.
Why would you not be on the show?
I'm going to be out of town.
Where are you going to be?
Jefferson City.
For what?
Work conference.
I will also, I close that night.
All right, so special E3 show. Myself.
On Sunday.
Guess what, Dalton, if you're listening, you're back on the show.
No, I honestly, I felt really bad about it. I told my boss, like, yeah, no, I could definitely go to this thing on Tuesday. And then I was like, ah, hell.
Dalton was complaining about it because he was like, oh, no, it's okay. It's a special show. It's about games. No, I don't want to be on it. All right, well, Dalton, you're back. So a special E3 show with myself, Dalton Anthony, Asa Gray.
You wait, but I don't think you want to wait.
Unless there's something that you really want to talk about.
Unless they do. When is the Nintendo?
I don't know. Nintendo probably won't do an E3 thing.
They are confirmed to do an E3 when they're doing
E3,
one
E3, or are they doing the treehouse thing or whatever?
I was going to say, they usually just do their own directs anymore.
Yeah, direct. That's what I meant, yeah.
They're actually part of E3. That's on the schedule. Because Asa read it out on Tuesday. That's the only reason I know.
But if there is stuff to talk about with Nintendo, I will be able to talk. But other than that.
Yeah. So probably not then. So let's just say it's going to be me, Dalton, Asa.
Rude.
And special guest Hunter Hendricks making his return to the show after, unless he cancels on me too.
No, I'm legitimately bummed that I can't be on the show because that's a hot talent pool right there.
That's like our like our yearly tradition. We do the E3 show.
Yep.
So I'm a little bummed about that. I won't lie.
I mean, if you could push it back a little, like I'll happily be on it. But
well, I'm sure we'll talk about it on Thursday as well.
Yeah,
you know, because E3 is going on till Wednesday or Thursday, so we're not going to be able to talk about everything.
Yeah, basically, like the big stuff that we're concerned about, though, Sunday and Monday.
Right.
There will be more stuff later, but those are going to be the two big days.
So make sure you tune in next Tuesday. Someone's going to be on the show. We don't know who at this point, but someone's going to be here to talk about video games. Until then, was there something else I was going to mention? Oh yeah, I do want to mention that Tom DeLonge is the better singer. So, with that said, hold on, I think you got something. There it goes. Just turn the mic off.
That was very rude. It was very rude.
We'll be back on Sunday for Nerd Up, and it'll be a lot of fun. Don't turn my mic off. I'm the king. I'm the king of the monsters. All right. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985 if for any reason at all you want to support this insanity. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985 if you want to interact with us. And of course, Podzilla1985.com if you want to catch up on the old episodes. We did a great episode with Travel Channel's Scott Walters. That was really good with me and Tanner. I had the new Hype Train 2 days ago. And of course, we did PW last night. It was a lot of fun. So a lot of good content this week. Make sure you go check that out. Until Sunday, have a good weekend. Play Gloria. Doing the jack off motion.
They're not, right now they're up, but they haven't won yet.
We'll see what happens. Later.